behind. That was exactly what I was thinking. If they pass, they can't retreat. 5 seconds or so later, Jared informed me. Evan's squad will be taking on the first half. Just as covert as the last lot, these Figoris noiselessly made their way along the forest floor. One came dangerously close to where I was hid, and then halted. The amount of energy I had absorbed was begging to be released, and I was expecting that I would need to do exactly that to defend myself. But then the tall, stocky Pagori continued onwards. Relief coursed through me. If we could get rid of this group without drawing attention, we would have gotten rid of 58 in total, and that was bound to make Bennington feel confident and secure, and get him moving. I hadn't wanted to use David so early. He was only young, and I knew this was his first battle. Not that I thought he wasn't up to the challenge. I just wanted him to have a chance to get a grip on his nerves. However, it was imperative that we completely assassinated this lot discreetly, and so I needed David's gift. Jared, tell Harvey to telekinetically bring David down here after Max has done his thing. We're going to need him. Then he can take him back up.
Roger that, baby.
The very second the last Pagori intruder had passed, Max did his thing. Then Chico, Salem, David, and Denny were there as quick as anything. Chico and Salem put their targets into a coma, while Denny wrapped his in ooze. David, as Reuben had amplified his gift, put an end to the life of his own targets. It was done and dusted in the space of 3 seconds. Thankfully, there was no chance of us running out of trees, and so we were able to successfully hide the 15 vampires.
Evan's attack was just as successful, Jared informed me. After a pause, there was a...
God damn it!
What is it? On the plus side, Bennington and his little army are on their way over.
The downside?
Some of them are using the trees.
Crap! How big is his army? Please say no more than 100.
There are 40 vampires surrounding him, but there's an additional 80 encircling them. Time to unite the squads, baby. No more letting people pass. None of them are to get near the hollow. On my signal, we attack.
I might have griped about him talking to me like he was my superior if I wasn't so tremendously focused on the approach of the vampires. 120? That meant that he brought, in total, 168, a number that exceeded Antonio's legion. Worse still, he had his allies lurking somewhere. Suddenly an arrow of fear shot through me. Not for myself, but for Jared and the squad. I'd come to care about each and every one of them. I loved how protective Chico was of them all. I loved how Butch could look so calm, even as he was plotting someone's death. I loved how Damien could make any damn thing funny just by his mannerisms. I adored Denny's innocent face and smile. I enjoyed watching Salem constantly bounce around like a boxer in the ring, as if he actually believed he was there. I loved that proud expression Stuart wore every single time he traveled around as molecules. I could listen to Reuben's distorted French accent all day long and never get bored of it. I liked the way, even when he was being a wanker, Max could always make me laugh. I even liked Harvey's cockiness. I loved David's vulnerability that lay beneath his maturity. And as for Jared, well, I loved that sexist twat just because. As Bennington's vamps got close, I peered up at Max, who was watching me from his place on the understory layer and waiting for my signal to act. One thing I'd always been especially clear on was that they should never give the enemy the chance to make the first move. Not when you were dealing with vampires, as you never knew just what gift they had. Finally, when the first row of vamps, some Pagoris, some Kajas, was directly in front of me, I nodded to Max. Quicker than lightning, Max paralyzed the senses of the 20 he was able to encompass. While Harvey, David, Denny, and Jared attacked them, Damien was astral projecting to the far right, distracting a chunk of the other vamps. While they were distracted, Chico, Salem, and I dealt with them. Then there was a battle cry from one of Bennington's vamps, and then everything went bloody mental. Vampires were zooming around thanks to Harvey's telekinesis or my air blasts. Others were being hit with deadly electric discharges, compliments of Jared. Some were wrapped in ooze or itching like crazy after having met Denny. Many others were in comas thanks to Salem and Chico.
Then there were those wandering aimlessly due to Max. Others were dying by psionic boom courtesy of David, who, as I predicted, was an immediate target of Bennington's army, but being protected by Butcher's shield. Then there were others twirling constantly, as Damien and Stuart continually distracted them. And of course there were vampires who were being hit by energy balls, energy beams, energy bolts, or an energy whip. Plenty found themselves alight, but only for as long as it took for someone else to kill them. Then I put the flames out, as I didn't want the rainforest catching fire. The rest of our legion also came forward, and those other gifts together with ours created the party of a lifetime. But Bennington's army were in good shape also. There was that bloke who kept shooting acid at me. If it hadn't been for my energy shield, I'd be dead by now. There was one who was turning some of the vamps to stone with his breath, and who almost got Jared. He then instantly died from an energy beam to the heart. There was the one who kept reducing himself to sand every time anyone aimed anything at him. Stuart and Denny chased him around and eventually got a grip on him. The most distracting was the Kasia, who had the ability to mentally project. In other words, he could manifest your thoughts, which could be your fears or memories, and that meant my squad and Evans kept seeing things that weren't there. Reuben eventually got close enough to touch him, and then reduced the power of his gift. One of Evans' squad then conjured a stake and killed him. There was also the vamp who had the power of suggestion, and was trying to rule the minds of those around him. He very nearly got Chico to shoot himself with his own thorns, but Salem threw his psychic punch in time. When it looked as though Bennington's numbers were decreasing swiftly, I started to think that maybe it was too good to be true. Jared, ask Evan if Allura has heard anything from the animals about any more attacks on the other sides of the rainforest. Seconds later, he replied with, "He's not answering. He's not dead, but I think he may be unconscious. I'm going to track him through our link." Feeling terribly distraught and irate at the thought that something might have happened to Evan, I increased the force of my air blast until even the trees looked likely to topple over. Then I saw something that riled me even more. Bennington was turning back. Oh, he did not think he could cause this and then scarper off, did he? Wrapping my energy shield around me, I dashed at vampire speed after Bennington and what was left of his army. There appeared to be about 18 to 20. Ripples of power and various weapons bounced off my shield as other vamps targeted me, but I didn't stop. It was when I got close that I heard the screech. I turned to see Allura being dragged along by two Pagoris. That was when I noticed other vamps also being dragged along. It hit me then. Bennington was collecting himself some more powerful vamps. Right now, however, I only had eyes for Allura. Evan would never forgive me if anything happened to her, and I didn't want him to know that feeling of losing someone you cared about. I shot both the Pagoris that had been restraining her with energy balls, and she dropped to the floor like a sack of spuds when they disintegrated into ashes. "You all right?" She nodded and gripped my hand as I pulled her upright. "Thank you so much. They knocked Evan unconscious. Is he okay? Where is he?" I was just about to wrap my energy shield around us both, when suddenly she was sucked away from me as if by a vacuum, but instead she was in the arms of Acacia. Before I could act, I found myself in a large frosted cube. No matter how many beams or bolts or balls I hit it with, it remained strong. "Bastard," I hissed at Bennington, as he approached and studied me curiously. "I had to have you, Samantha. There was no way I was going to leave without taking you with me. You had to have known that." His smile was self-satisfied and slimy. "If you honestly think you'll leave here alive, you're dafter than Victor was." "Oh, things may not be going so great over here, but then I had expected Antonio's legion to be the strongest. My allies are having a lot of success attacking the other side, thankfully. The Hollow will be mine. Let me ask you a question, Bennington. If your little helpers are winning the battle on the other sides, what makes you think they'll hand the Hollow over to you?" His smile faded. "The Hollow's not exactly an apartment building, is it? I can't see someone handing such a grand place over to you like that. It strikes me that whoever penetrates the walls will be the one who takes it. Looks like that won't be you, eh?" Then perhaps I shall use my new feeder to aid my cause. I'd sooner see to my own death before I'd help you. Don't worry, baby. It won't come to that.
Jared's voice sent a bolt of warmth through me. Bennington chuckled as his army gathered around him and the cube.
You really are very fond of your consort, Jared. Victor was much the same. I must assume, then, that she's quite the performer in the bedroom. Perhaps I should take a leaf out of your and Victor's book and take her as my consort as well as having her in my army. I snickered as I appraised him. Sorry, your Monopoly Man look does nothing for me.
She's not my consort, said Jared.
His voice was dripping with rage.
Oh? Then what?
Bennington seemed confused.
She's mine.
He left no doubt as to what he meant by that. He must have felt my shock, because he nodded slightly at me to assure me of his honesty. Bennington's confident smile faltered. When a vampire chose someone for their own, it was considered an extremely serious thing. They each belonged to the other and had the right to stage a full-scale war over them. It had happened plenty of times. Taking the heirs chosen was as good as signing your own death warrant. Bennington would be automatically putting a bounty on his head. If Jared didn't kill him, some random vampire could, and would, just to collect on whatever reward came with his death. Bennington chuckled nervously.
I have to say I'm surprised you've allowed anyone to claim you, Samantha. I saw you as too much of a free spirit for that.
Stop stalling, Bennington, ordered Jared. Give her back to me.
He didn't follow that up with an or, and that made his words sound all the more threatening. His tone made it clear that there was no room for bartering or negotiating or making any deals. Bennington was to hand me over. The end. I heard a slight crack and frowned. Then there was another. I swerved to see a large crack forming in the wall of the cube. On the other side of the cube was Reuben, with his palms slapped up against it, trying to weaken it. He nodded at me and shrugged as if to say the rest was up to me now. I sucked the energy around me into my palms, and then I placed my hands on the wall of the cube, just as Reuben had done. Then I released a scorching heat near the crack. As I'd hoped, the crack widened and split until more cracks were branching off it. I kept emitting the heat, conscious of Bennington and Jared talking but not hearing their words. Then the cube began to tremor and quake as the split ran through the floor of it. I absorbed more energy into my palms and then slammed a massive energy bolt into the base of the cube. The entire thing cracked and fragmented. Everyone turned to look at me. And then, taking advantage, my squad appeared and attacked using their formations. Jared created and projected an extremely high-voltage bolt of lightning and aimed it at a distracted Bennington. The sad little man shook and convulsed and made the most ear-piercing noise as the electricity ran through his body, stealing his life. I almost danced at the sight of his ashes. Instantly, Jared was there, holding me tight to him. At the same time, those who were left of Bennington's army suddenly looked unsure and apprehensive. While some surrendered completely, others fought harder, as if they'd sooner die than be caught. We happily indulged them in that. Within seconds, it was over, and all was quiet around us. There were still sounds of battle in the distance, but at least Bennington was dead. Jared scrunched his hands in my hair and rested his forehead to mine.
I could kill you for getting caught.
I didn't do it on bloody purpose.
He kissed me hard.
I'm still strapping you to the bed.
Coach, look!
I turned to see Denny pointing through a gap in the trees. At least 300 more vampires had just teleported to the island.
Twat!
The Monopoly bloke had had more allies than we'd expected. Or were they allies? It seemed more likely that they had acted as though they were working in league with Bennington, when in fact they had planned to let him fight most of the fight and then jump in at the last minute to steal the victory. Suddenly there was a lot of cursing and shouting and movement, and the squad retreated to join the others and prepare for the new invaders. But when Jared tried to drag me along behind them, I resisted and shook my head.
"We can't fight off that many, you know that."
He was going to electrocute me for this, but I couldn't see any other choice.
Don't resist it.
What?
That was when I merged into him. Just like last time, there was that sensation of fusing and melding with this other body, as though I was encasing myself in an all-in-one suit. Each of my five senses came to me one by one. And then there was that burning pain, as though I was melting into the suit, into Jared, and our cells knitted together. Again, I felt totally and utterly omnipotent. But unlike with Joy, there was another feeling, that I was complete, which made no sense, but it was there. I examined first my hands and then the rest of me. My hands were slightly larger and calloused. I was burlier and taller. I was exactly as I'd been in the vision that I'd had via Luther. Just like in that vision, I felt more alive than ever. My entire body buzzed with power and energy. Jared's energy was 50 times the strength of Joy's. There were two potential problems. One, I wasn't sure I could channel such a large concentration of power that mine and Jared's combined made. Two, I didn't seem to care that I might not be able to channel it. I was filled with this sense that nothing could happen to me. All I could think of was releasing this caged power against the attackers.
Sam, no!
The voice reverberated around my head.
You need to unmerge with me right now. I told you not to do this. You can get drugged on the power.
Although his words didn't quite penetrate, Jared's voice still somehow snagged my attention.
That's it, baby. Just think for a minute. Think. I know the power feels good to you, but it's too much. It could take over you. It could kill you.
That couldn't be right. I was invincible, wasn't I?
That might be how it feels, but it's not real. Baby, please listen to me. You have to unmerge with me right now.
He was right, I finally fully realized. I could be hurt. The power really could overwhelm me. But I couldn't unmerge with him like he wanted. Not when I knew the attackers were coming. I could even hear them.
I have to do this, Jared. Fuck no!
With my Sente agility and Jared's Pagori strength and speed all mixed together, leaping from tree to tree in my ascent was practically effortless. Finally, I reached the overstory layer, where I perched myself steadily on the top of a large, sturdy tree.
Sam, baby, please don't do this.
I need to do this. You know I do. We do. Now stop resisting or this won't work. Please. From where I stood, I had a clear view of the approaching vampires. I could also see flashes of energy and light in the distance where the others were battling. I raised my arms straight over my head, shoulder width apart, with my hands balled into tight fists. I then closed my eyes as I tapped into the eager power inside me that seemed to have a life of its own. It was like it was impatiently clawing at my insides, bumping against my organs and making me feel as though I was going to burst. For a moment, I wondered if Jared was right, if it was too strong for me to channel. But then he spoke, and although I wasn't sure what he said, his voice grounded and anchored me. Praying that the combination of my ability to tap into the natural elements and Jared's gift of electrokinesis was enough, I opened my fists. My entire body seemed to spasm as the energy streamed out of me and manifested itself into a massive grey cloud, a cloud that increased in size with each second. I watched as it continued to grow and darken until it was like a smoky blanket hanging over the island. A harsh wind picked up, and then there was a loud clap of thunder. Then came the lightning. I directed the bolt at the High Master Vampire Winston Jones, who had been fast approaching until the storm began. Instantly, he was ashes. Seeing that his vampy friends were ready to make a run for it, I sent a massive gush of wind at them, sweeping each one of them up, and then shaped the wind into a gigantic tornado. The tornado touched nothing but what I instructed it to, as, sweating and shaking, I directed it around the island, sweeping up each and every enemy that I could see. It was easy to tell them apart from the friendly vamps, because they were the only ones running away. Any that somehow managed to escape the tornado got struck by a lightning bolt. Once I had them all, I lifted the lid on the last bit of power I had contained inside me,
and created a large ball of fire that engulfed the tornado and every vampire within it. And then I collapsed, greeting an unconscious state with gratefulness.
Jared. She obviously wanted me to kill her. That was the only explanation I could think of as to why she'd place herself in that much danger. I'd felt how it had been for her when she merged with me, and our energies clashed. It was as though she'd been standing at the edge of a precipice, fighting against a wind that could possibly throw her over the edge. I'd sensed each time the power almost overwhelmed her enough to throw her over that edge, into oblivion. And I hadn't been able to do a goddamn thing about it. I'd tried over and over to undo what she'd done, but as the merging gift was hers, I'd had no choice but to be nothing more than a voice in her mind, grounding her. As soon as she'd collapsed with exhaustion, her own body had peeled away from mine, leaving my skin itching like crazy for a minute. Having teleported her crazy ass out of the tree, I laid her on the forest floor and squatted beside her. "Sam, baby, wake up," I coaxed, running my hand through her hair. "Come on, wake up." Becoming aware of a presence behind me, I turned to find Antonio, Luther, and Sebastian being teleported by one of the guards. "How is she?" Antonio immediately asked. "Totally wiped out. She'd known from what happened with Joy that she could drain me if she wasn't careful, but she'd ended up draining herself."
"Thank God it wasn't to the point of death," said Luther.
"A coma?" inquired Chico, as the entire squad suddenly appeared from the trees with Alora. Most of the guys were worse for wear, but they were alive. I heard some of them cursing at the sight of a very still Sam. "She's just unconscious," I assured them. "But she's sapped."
"So she'll be okay?"
David was swallowing hard in panic. I nodded. The only thing I could think of that might rouse her from this state was blood. I slid my hand under her upper back and raised her slightly, allowing her head to fall back a little. Then I bit hard into my wrist and swiftly put it to her mouth. Although the skin quickly healed itself, I still managed to get a few drops onto her tongue. "Come on, Sam." Nothing. No movement, no sounds, not even the flicker of an eyelid. "Sam, I swear to God, if you don't wake up, I'll spank your ass."
"Bastard,"
I heard in my head. Instantly a smile curved my mouth. "She's all right. She's waking up." Denny raised a brow, still tense and anxious.
"How can you tell?"
"She's just telepathically called me a bastard." There were laughs at that, but the air was still filled with worry. Then she inhaled a long breath through her nose, and everyone seemed to sigh and sag in relief. Aquamarine eyes found mine, and she smiled a little. I pulled her onto my lap as I sat down. "Hey, baby."
"I told you not to call me that."
"Was there a reason why you felt it necessary to turn into Storm out of the X-Men?"
"Oh, shut your noise."
She looked up at Antonio then.
"Many casualties?"
His smile was sad.
"Although there wasn't as many as I would have expected, given how outnumbered we were. We unfortunately lost an entire squad from the Legion. However, it seemed that Rupert's Legion suffered the worst. I think things would have been much worse if you hadn't turned into Storm, as Jared so aptly put it."
"It was so cool,"
said Harvey with a wide smile. I shot him a scowl. She turned to the squad and smiled, her eyes flicking to each one of them.
"I don't mind saying I'm proud of you lot."
They each grinned.
"But if you let it get to your heads and rods reappear up your backsides, it'll be Storm time again. All right?"
They each chuckled, but nodded.
If you think we'd risk your wrath, you're crazy, said Damien.
Jared?
It was Evan, anxious. Evan's awake, I told her. I stashed him out of sight further into the rainforest when I found him unconscious. Alora dashed forward.
Can you take me to him? Please?
I nodded, then stood upright, Sam still in my arms. See all you guys later.
Put me down!
She kicked her legs until I planted her on her feet, an arm around her waist, waiting while she steadied herself, before grabbing Alora's hand. In under a second, we were stood before Evan, who stopped his anxious pacing and quickly locked his arms around Alora. To my surprise, she eagerly returned the embrace. I looked at Sam. That was fast work for Evan. She only smiled. Then her smile wobbled a little, and she suddenly seemed nervous. What is it? She cleared her throat. But when she opened her mouth, she didn't say anything, as if she wasn't sure she should say whatever it was. I encouraged her with a look.
When I merged with you, it meant I could access. I wasn't snooping, it's just part of the merging. Your thoughts and memories and feelings.
I knew where this was going. I'd suspected that the process would allow her to do that. After a second, she murmured in disbelief.
You love me. Or at least, you think you do.
I know I do. I wrapped my arms around her. And you love me. Her eyes widened. Clearly, she hadn't known that I'd had the same access to her mind as she had to mine. If you sensed I love you, then you must have also sensed that I meant it when I said I was claiming you as mine. And no, I'm not asking. And the reason I'm not asking is because the answer no is unacceptable. I want the binding ceremony. Everything. A wicked, crooked smile formed on her face.
If I do say no, will you strap me to the bed for longer than a month?
My smile mirrored hers. You'll leave me no choice but to have to. And then, of course, I'll have to spank your ass, bite your nipples, and tease your clit with my tongue until you change your mind.
Then the answer is definitely a resounding no.
Note that I'll also be giving it to you up the...
Bro, we can hear you over here,
whined Evan.
Those are visuals I could live without.
I sighed while Sam giggled. Come on, time to go to my apartment and get started on that spanking. The second we arrived at my apartment, she smirked.
You'll have to catch me first.
And then the insane bitch turned back into Houdini. This concludes Here Be Sexist Vampires by Suzanne Wright. Narrated by Justine Eyre and PJ Oakland. Copyright 2012 by Suzanne Wright. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Suzanne Wright and was produced in the year 2018 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright there too. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.